Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for having me.
I need to confess something. I don't know your name properly. I call you like three different things. I call you Lewis. I call you Bees. I call you D's. I call like Bald Beasley.
Pallone.
Oh, geez. Man, Tipperon's another name for Alejandro, but that's a different subject. So anyway, we have a lot of nicknames for everything. Can you publicly introduce yourself and tell me what to call you? And thanks for being on the podcast, by the way.
Yeah, thank you. Now, my name is Lewis Michael Beasley, but I go by Mike. A lot of my good friends call me Mike. When I was younger, back in school, they used to call me Louie. And then they started calling me Louie Screwy. And then by junior high, I said, no, I'm going to change it up. And we actually moved from Virginia to Raleigh.
There's your chance.
There was my chance to change my name in a new school. And so I went with Mike, and my parents picked up on it really fast. And then that kind of stuck. And then a lot of people call me Bees, short for Beasley. And now it's Boo Boo.
I have heard that a good bit.
Yes.
I don't want to call you that.
A lot of people don't like, good friends can call me Boo Boo if you want to call me Boo Boo. But like, no, I just call you Mike.
All right, Bees.
Bees is good.
That works?
Bees.
All right, I think that's it for me. So, hey, speaking of nicknames, you just mentioned Tough Tom, as I call him, or Mr. Tom LaGrassa. That's his thing. So let's get right into it. What's our art today? Like, what's happening?
Yeah, this is a piece that...
Is that here?
Actually, I think it's in Carrillo Beach.
Okay.
And Tom LaGrassa is a great photographer, but he has a company in the States, and he actually sends his prints to, and they... put it on canvas, which I really highly recommend here because you're not putting it behind glass, less of a mold issue. And I mean, it looks great. So he had brought me down a couple prints from the States that I picked out from some of his photos. Mm-hmm. And that happened to be one of them. And I really liked this one. And I brought it to gift to you for sharing your house with me in Nicaragua.
Oh, man, thank you.
So, yeah, what I like
to do... Hey, do you know anywhere I can get a frame?
Well, that's why I brought it like this, because frames are personal to people. People have different types of wood in their house. So I like for you to bring it to the shop and pick out what type of frame you want,
Dude.
And then we'll customize it for
thank
you.
Thank you. Yep. That's really nice.
You're welcome.
Stoked. I'm kind of into blue. I don't know if you noticed. I guess
I know.
Imagine. Maybe I'm blue. My truck's blue. I just feel happier with it around.
I'm a big blue guy.
Thank you. That house you rent is blue too.
I know.
Anyway, let's get to your episode, man. Tell us what you're doing here and what the heck's going on with your life.
Yeah, it's crazy how I ended up here. I first traveled to Costa Rica in '84, '85.
Wow.
Went to Jaco. At 14 or 15 years old.
Walk us through Jaco at that time frame at 15.
It was one hotel, the Jaco Beach Hotel, and the Beetle Bar was there. And that was it. There was no pavement. There was no street signs or no stop signs. Actually, Jaco, there was a few fences and pastures you had to cross to get to Jaco Beach and surf there. And my first trip to Costa Rica, I fell in love with it. I was like, man, you know, I want to just move there and live there, you know. But at that age, you know, it was no work here. I didn't have the money, but I came.
We all had the exact thing that you just described. So most everyone listening to this knows that exact feeling. We all came here and it was like, imagine if you could live here.
There was probably two Ticos out there surfing with us. I don't even think they had fins on their surfboards, you know.
You almost didn't have a leash.
Yeah, we had leashes.
I know you had leashes in '84, but not for long.
You know, glassed on fins. You had to put the box on your fins and wrap it up. But yeah, my first trip there, I came with a professional out of Florida, Greg Taylor. You may have heard of him.
He's shout out to Greg Taylor.
OG now. Wow. But my parents had to sign a waiver, and I came down with like 6 groms, and he brought us down, you know, and we rented a truck, and we surfed everywhere. Boca Barranca. We surfed all these breaks around that particular area.
So in Barranca, Condino's house was right there, an operating den. No, almost no one's out, but the house... I guess I was just going to ask, what was the surf crew or crowd like wherever you went?
It was just non-existent. It was just us. There was nobody around at that time. Nobody was surfing. A lot of the local people weren't surfing, you know? So it was, I just fell in love. And I was like, and so I started traveling all around Costa Rica in different years after that. And 20, 26 years ago, a friend of mine, good friend of mine now, he was like, hey, we're going to go to Nassar. I was like, I've never been to Nassar. Let's go. And man, when I came here, it was back when, you know, Richard from Tikka Massage was out there on his big longboard. And I'll never forget him just stroking into some of the outside waves and getting all the bombs. And it was not a lot of people surfing here then. I think P.O., he was surfing really good back then in the day. And, you know, so I've watched a lot of these guys that live here. I used to give them waves. I used to cheer them on and, yeah, go. But now I'm out there fighting them for them, you know. But it's my first trip here. Every time I returned to Costa Rica, I always came back to Nassar after that. You know, the Villa Taipei, the whole, you know, everybody knows the story of how right. good it was back then and the waves
But march this along to your current existence, because I don't remember seeing you every day all the time until a couple of years ago.
I fell in love with Nassar at the time. And so whenever I came back to Costa Rica, I always revisited Nassar. So that's how I've gotten to know so many people in this town. Now, I was coming to visit, I'd usually stay like a month and a half.
Okay.
During like December or March, and then I was out of here.
All right. Maybe that's why you felt so familiar.
Yeah, exactly. I'd come and I was gone. And then I'd travel elsewhere surfing, you know, throughout the year, different times. But I always like to come back here. Late November, early December was a good point for me.
That is a good time.
You know?
So is this about the time you found this place was going to be home, or was it still like?
No, this was 25 years ago.
Oh, okay.
So I ended up here, you know, always wanted to move here or to Costa Rica, and especially Nassar once I found this place. I didn't find it, but it found me, I think. And I was married for a long time, and so I had a good job back in the States. And long story short, I ended up going through a divorce in 2016.
Okay.
And then during the first year of separation of the divorce being legal, I was surfing the Outer Banks big hurricane swell and separated my pelvis surfing. This has all happened in 1 year. And then shortly after that, my mom was ill, but I lost my mom. And she was like my best friend. And she's always said, you know, you're never going to be happy unless you, you know, she's always said that, unless you live in Costa Rica or somewhere where you can surf all the time. Because she knew how I was. We were that close. When I wasn't surfing, I was back there working. I was just miserable. And she passed away, and I remember calling my brother, and I said, Marty, I said, I'm gonna take a couple months off. I got a little bit of money left because I was out of work from my separated pelvis, my divorce. And I'm going to just go clear my mind of all this, which when I came, it was my mom's birthday, as a matter of fact. And
What was her name?
It was powerful, Jean.
Jean.
Yeah.
Shout out to
Claire,
Jean.
Claire Jean. That's now the name of my motorcycle. It was Claire Jean. And yeah, and the real cool thing about this story is, you know, my brother, he emailed me and he said, hey, a guy that was handling mom's money contacted me. And he was, when we get back, I'm going to fly to North Carolina and meet with you and meet with him. And so we did that when I got back. And it wasn't a lot of money, but it was enough money for me to go, you know what? I've been through a lot this year, and I've always wanted to come here. So I sold everything I owned. I took that little bit of money, and it was enough to comfortably come here and not be stressed about rent for, you know, and all the other stuff that comes along with being here. The company that I was working with in the States before I came here gave me a great offer to come back.
Okay.
I was like, all right, it sounds good. And so I was preparing to go back and go back to work because I really wasn't knocking it down here. I enjoyed the time I needed. But so COVID happened. And then the company is like, hey, we're going to have to pull back on this offer, you know, because it was all residential, high-end kitchen and bathroom islands. So nobody wanted you in your house then. And I was like, all right, you know, this is happening for a reason, whatever it is. And that's when a friend of mine lives in La Garda. He's like, hey, are you interested in remodeling my kitchen? I was like, well, sure. He said, we can use Frank's wood shop. He's a block away. He's offered, we just pay him a little rent. And so when I did his remodel, I started posting pictures of the remodel. And people started going, hey, do you do this? Do you do that? And that's kind of where my carpentry took off here. So I was doing anything from beds to dressers, tables. Surf racks was a big thing.
Right.
And I was renting space at the Harmony Wood Shop, so I didn't have my own place. So I was in the, I was working at the Esperanza wood shop owned by Harmony.
Shout out to them.
Yes. Oh my God. And great people. Great shop, by the way. Something you would see in the States kind of shop.
Okay. But
then I got a notice that they were getting ready to do a big project, which you see what's going on up there across from like Jungle's Edge in that area. They're getting ready to do a lot of building. So I was informed that my time was going to be kind of cut short there because they were going to be hiring a bunch of people, that carpenters are going to come in. And I was kind of the low man on the totem pole. So I got my wheels to spin because 2 years ago, I've been getting a lot of like artwork and framework and people bringing canvases and wanting me to stretch it. And I was like, you know what? I would love to open up a frame shop. But at the time, I didn't have the money to do it. You know, the money my mom left me, you know, that's probably just about gone. You know, it wasn't a lot, but enough to get here. And then that's where I met Brandy, my business partner. Brandy Grote, shout out to her. She's been, oh my gosh, she's been a blessing through this whole thing.
How so?
Well, at first she was like, you know, I told her about my dream and my vision. She's like, well, Michael, I'll lend you the money and we'll get a lawyer to write up something. You can pay me back little by little. And or come in as like a business partner. And I jumped on that. That seemed like kind of the easier thing to do.
She must be strong where you're weak.
Exactly. And she has been amazing. She's met with all the attorneys, pulled all the license, all the hoops you have to jump through to open a legitimate legal business here. She handled. I would have gave up the first month. I would have been like,
well, hey, let's just say respect to her and you for doing it legitimate and legal. That's a lot of the pushback that you have as gringos coming in is the people who come and do stuff and they don't do it right. Then other people who are doing it right are getting clipped by people coming down using social media to pull in business that the local businesses could use.
Yes.
So I tip my hat to both of you guys for doing that. And also, I know how hard it is. It's not easy to do everything right and give back and do all these things. So exactly. Thank you to her and to you. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. And
I know it's a pain in the ass, though.
Yes, it is. And, you know, what I do, there's I don't feel like I'm taking anything off anybody's plate because there's not a lot of people that do custom framework here or even want to do it, you know. But it's good. And I wanted to do it right. I wanted to do it legal. I've been here long enough and I just, you know, it just felt right.
Damn. So. Well, your position, did you want it? You're not living off of borrowed time anymore with money that came from an inheritance or whatnot. Now it's like, hold on, I have the rest of my life. What am I going to do if I'm going to make it here? It's expensive to survive in Nosa. Yes. Like, thank God for Rosie's and a couple other places to survive off of, but it's not cheap here.
Like, no,
you got to you actually have to make real money.
Yeah, you do. You do. And I'm very frugal. I don't go out to eat a lot, you know. And when I do, I go to, you know, I don't go to La Luna and all these other nice places, you know.
Hey, let's hit your top favorite three restaurants while we're on the subject then.
I knew you were going to hit me with that. I would definitely say Pacific Azul is the blackened tuna salad is one of my favorite. They have the vinaigrette dressing on it. And I try not to go there. Maybe every month and a half I'll go just to keep it so real. You know, I never get tired of it. And I always order. They know when I come in there what I'm ordering. Olivia's. I love their pizza, but their ceviche, I think, is just amazing. So, and that's another place I don't visit a lot because I don't want to get burned out on, but that's another restaurant that I really like. And Rosie's, for lunch and breakfast. Lunch, I love the carne salsa, you know, the rose and avocado, and it's really good.
Okay, so now that I hear Rosie's so much, I'm going to start asking, Rosie's one, two, or three?
Yeah, well, that would be one.
One right? Is Mangiones, and then two is Guiones Norte, and then Palada is three.
Three sometimes because it's close to the shop. I hit them for lunch because they're right around the corner, you know, so sometimes I'll go there. And I really can't tell the difference in the lunch. And, you know, you'd think you could, but no.
All right, so back to your story. So you launched the frame shop. It's legit. You're fully into this thing. You're now on a podcast where millions upon millions of people are going to be listening. I'm just kidding. Dude, what we're doing is when somebody's ready, they're like, all right, I got to get to know that guy. Or he dropped in on me today. Or I heard great things about him. Whatever it is.
Yeah.
Then they're going to get to know who the real you is. And the real you is a pretty freaking exciting story. Your mom is off the charts freaking cool, like wildly amazing. And then this business partner, Ready Lady, she's freaking cool too. So how do you pull these people into your life, man? Because like, that's a dream setup. She's sponsored, business partner, strong warrior week. You're launching a business model that no one's into.
Exactly.
Seems like you have pretty good luck.
You know I do. I really do. And, you know, sometimes it doesn't always happen like that, but it always happens at the right time. When we opened this business, I already was backed up with work. It wasn't like we opened the doors and hoped that people would come.
Yeah, you always seem busy.
I'm telling people I'm 4 weeks out right now. I just hired a guy last week.
Are you mad about that? Before you go forward, on 4 weeks, sounds like that's a good thing.
It's great for me, but sometimes people are... You know, they want to get their artwork. Some people come in and like, oh, it's take your time, you know. And I'm like, well, I'm just letting you know I'm 4 weeks out. And then 2 weeks later, you're like, hey, is my art ready? And some people don't even like, oh, I forgot I dropped it off. So it's different for different people.
Who's your main client? Is it guests or is it vacation home owners or people who live here?
Like people that have, there's several people. People that build houses here that want to put artwork on their house. They'll bring canvases down from the States and I'll stretch them and put them on frames. And I even do installs too. So I'll go and make the frames for their house and install 7 or 8 pictures throughout their house.
So you're like a personalized service provider. It's not come here, here's our 3 frames to pick from. It's what are you trying to do? I got it. So you're doing the full art behind it. That's why it takes more time and that's why you're back up.
Yeah, and all my frames are custom. A lot of your frame shops in San Jose, that's all custom milled stock that they buy from China or wherever. All my stuff is made from scratch. So every frame is different and every frame is custom for the customer. Jeez. They come in and I have different frame styles that they can alter or change the color on it. But every frame I do is custom for the customer.
Yeah, so this is quality. Am I allowed to ask about general pricing for frames and stuff?
Yes, of course. We have a price, you know, chart for different styles, and it all depends on what you want, how big the frame is, how big the piece of glass goes in. So the price varies.
All right, so I just walked into your store. Yo, frame guy.
Okay.
How much is this going to cost?
So first off, I would look at what I paid for the print.
Okay.
I would say this print would run about $100 to have it put on canvas, and then I make a pine stretcher frame behind it and stretch the canvas on it. So the stretcher frame, a lot of people bring me the art. So I would look at what size the stretcher frame is. And one like this would be anywhere from $60 to $75, plus another $20 to stretch it and put it on there and put your nice hanging wire on it.
Okay, so $100 to get it in that format.
Yeah, and even less, because that's a small one.
Okay. Okay, so $50 to $100 gets it on something.
And then they can customize it with the frame too.
And I have no idea.
Yeah, frames run, we're charging anywhere from $15 to $20 a foot, depending on what they want.
I got you. So, and then it just goes to whatever level.
Yeah.
That's so rad.
This is basically close to like, if they went with like a $20 a foot frame style, you know, you're looking at $80 to $90 for the frame for it.
All right. Two needs to know about you. Is it builders? Is it property managers? Is it the retail client?
It's from them to artists, local artists. We have miles of canvas. So anybody can come in and say, hey, I want a 5x7 canvas on a nice stretcher frame. And we have nice prime canvas that's ready to paint. And we have a lot of it. So anybody that's a local artist, please come in and let me know what size you want and we can make it for you.
Gotcha. So you're saying just about from any angle.
And we do mirrors too. We do custom mirrors. I do a lot of mirror installs. If you want a mirror, you tell me what size you want it, and you pick out your frame style. I order the glass and mirror from a company out in La Jolla. They come through every other day, and they drop off the glass and mirror at my shop.
I see those guys with the ones at the back of the truck that stand up.
And coming down those roads, I'm like, how does it even get here, right? Also, we had the lock and go is something I wanted to bring in.
I don't know anything about a lock and go, but that sounds very interesting.
This place needs a nice storage place, climate controlled storage.
Yeah, of course we do. So you're saying you opened a storage facility.
Yeah, and it's kind of, Brandy came back to what I've been saying forever. She came, let's, and I was like, that's perfect. So we had a guy come in and make all kinds of different size cages that you can come in and put your personal stuff in, and they run anywhere from 5x5x8 to something that you could put two suitcases in. And we have almost 50 lockers.
What are their price ranges?
All different from different sizes.
You can, for the small to big, just range.
Yeah, you can go online. We've got a website that has all the pricing on it. Okay. But it's called Lock and Go Nassar.
Okay.
And yeah, it's all there.
And it's climate controlled.
And it's climate controlled.
That's fantastic, man.
Yes, yep. And that's that being a new business, when we opened it up, didn't take off quite as fast, you know? But now people are learning about it.
Dude, I didn't know about it.
I know. So hopefully now a lot of people know about it.
About to. That's it. That one will catch, man. And it's a small town. When I say a lot of people are going to know around here, it's not. It's just a small town. A couple hundred people knowing about something here makes a big difference, actually.
Yeah. What's nice about it is if somebody's building a house, they can go to San Jose and buy the ceiling fans or microwaves. And as the house is ready, all their stuff is here. They don't have it stored in San Jose, and they can come and get it and, you know, start bringing it in slowly.
Or it can be an owner's bodega.
That, and then people that come and go. Like, people come down here with their life dream of moving to Nassar, and they come down here with all this stuff, and then they realize, well, I got to go back home for a couple months, but I don't want to carry all my stuff back. So now they have a place that they can do that too.
That's perfect. You got something for vehicles yet?
No, it's not that big. That's we're going to see how this goes, but that may be a part two of that.
That's it. That might be your...
And we do board storage too.
All right.
So you can store your boards there.
All right. So lockandgonosara.com, is that it?
Mm-hmm.
Brilliant, man. What else you got going on?
I'm really busy with work. You know, it's a blessing. Now I kind of, with surfing, I got to pick the days that are really good, and I just work really hard, and when the days get good, I go surfing.
All right, so let's talk about surf, because that's how I know you. You're in very good shape, you paddle very fast, you catch a lot of waves, your positioning is pretty fantastic at reading set waves, similar enough to really annoy me that you exist in the water, so I had to make friends with you, and I've really enjoyed that. That's kind of like once somebody's not going to go anywhere, and their timing sequences with yours... That's my philosophy in living here, is just accept them, be nice, make friends, share waves, because then you have a great thing, you might create a friendship. Yeah. But if it's like, that guy's here, there's no good in that. There's no benefit. I've seen people do that for years, adding up 15, 20 years, and now they're like angry, don't even surf. I never want to be that guy.
No, you know me out in the water. I know everybody out in the water, and I'm always out there like, everybody just... Relax, take it easy. I say that sometimes around a lot of people. And I like to keep it light out there, you know? And
you do a pretty good job, but I want to, we all know the good. I'm asking you on the tough days, like when you're mad, because I've seen you mad too. You've seen me mad. But there's times where we're just stressed from just trying to make it in this town so badly. Sometimes you just need a wave.
Yeah.
How do you deal with it? Because you're on a shortboard. I hate the fact that on a shortboard, I can't catch any waves. And I watch people who can't surf as good or maybe even aren't very nice people catch a bunch of waves. And I'm not saying you're one of those people. Just kidding. But you do catch a lot of waves on a shortboard. You also will get positioned to compete with bigger equipment. Somebody can't just ride a longboard and beat you. And I have respect. I'm giving you props here. But I'm also asking, how do you deal with the crowds on when you're having a bad day and everything's gone to heck?
You know, I used to like to be right out in the middle, you know, in photo land with everybody. And now I tend to try to find little openings and get away from the crowds. Because, and I've upped my volume. I'm riding almost a 38 liter board now.
Okay, so now we're getting somewhere. Keep going.
Yeah, it's equivalent to like a mini longboard with the volume. But it's made a change. I'm not getting any younger. I'll be 57 in May, and the volume has changed the game out there for me. You know, I used to ride these small, thin boards, high-performance boards, and once I started riding some boards with some volume, it made a lot of difference because you're always having to jockey around. But I also try to not let it get to me when it's small because it's, you know, you see some guys drop in on somebody on a small wave, and they just go ballistic. I'm like, that wasn't even worth getting all that upset about. It wasn't even really a wave, you know? So now I try to go and spend quality time and get my head straight when it's good. And when it's big, that's when I like it. You know, when there's like a handful of people that only go out, that's the days I like to go out and surf, you know?
So I understand. So it's with increased work, the way you get the increased value in surfing is selective surfing.
Yes.
And more foam when you do. And then when it's small, just understand it's small, and that's how it goes.
Yeah, just don't go like sometimes I'd rather just go down there and go for a swim and swim outside and joke and talk with people. And everybody's like, where's your board? You know, I'm like, it's too small, you know? So, and that, you know, I get a good workout that. And it's good too, in case you lose your board out there, you're in swimming shape, you know, on the bigger days. So.
All right. So we talked a lot about the positives. I want to hear about the negatives from your perspective, because Nosar has been good to you, but you're an expat who's coming in, but you're doing things right. You also are super kind to the place, and you're a nice guy. Like, you're not trying to hurt anybody.
No.
So talk through the negatives from your side.
Well, like I said, just the rental, the cost of renting here.
Rentals and pricing.
You can't complain about the road anymore. But then again, you can. The white people are just flying around here.
I was gonna say, I complain about it every day. It's people follow 6 inches behind. I was just riding with a client last week. Somebody was passing them. He's turning left. They were passing on the left. Boom. It's dangerous. So I'm complaining about the road right now. But anyway, go back to your complaints.
Yeah, I mean, that would probably be one of my biggest ones, is just how dangerous it's gotten with the pavement here. It's people just... And people, they come down here on vacation, bless their heart, they're, you know, they're on vacation and they're, you know, they don't need a helmet. They're on the quad with their kids. And
that
just drives me crazy.
I got to admit it. So I was, whenever I came to Costa Rica, it was like, off we go, like vroom. And it was, there was no one around. It was kind of like that. And now it's not. And now I want speed bumps and go lights. Like, I really do, just for people's safety, just driving through in front of Organico. It's crazy. The trucks fly through, the bikes fly through. When you just pull out, somebody might be hitting there. I complained about there in front of El Local, Hotel Guiones. I complained about that. And then also Palata, close to where your shop is. I call
that
racetrack.
Blind turn, yeah, that's terrible.
Well, as soon as people get to that straightaway, it is. So if you're coming out of the L section or Palata. So anyway, those are my top three complaints.
I always beep when I go past, when I come up on Organico, whether I'm coming from this way or that way, I always just beep my horn. Just hit it one time, and sometimes that's all it takes to get somebody's attention that may not be paying attention, you know, or getting ready to fly out. So, yeah, pricing, the cost of food, and the speed that, you know, people are traveling around here. And the whole no helmet thing. It drives me crazy. I mean, I grew up riding and racing BMX and motocross, and I'm very comfortable on a bike. And when I first moved here, I went for a couple of years. I was like, oh, I'm in Costa Rica, I'm not gonna wear a helmet. Well, I had some really close call accidents, and now I don't even go a block away without. When I get on my bike, my helmet is on now.
Sounds like you're getting wise in your later years. What other pearls of wisdom do you have to spout out?
Just, you know, give your elders waves. That'd be one of them. You know, give us some waves every now and then, you know. We appreciate it. And then just being a small town. I think that falls in one of the negatives. You know, you hear stuff sometimes that somebody say, oh, and it's like, really? I didn't know that about myself. You know, it's just, it's funny. So that's why I've gotten to where I've learned living here, that I just kind of stay low key, but I'm friendly to everybody. I mean, you know what I do love about this place is you can't go anywhere. I can't go a block without seeing somebody I know and hey, or somebody yell boo boo out of the woods or something, you know. And back home, you know, in the States, I could go to the gym, I could go to the bank, I could go to the gas station, restaurants, and never see a person I know. On the road, Pat, and you know what I mean? Very rarely. Here, you can't go. Once you've been here a while and you get to know people, that is like one of the top positives for me, because it's just me and my brother now, so I really don't have any family. So my friends here are like,
you're feeling
family.
It.
You know what I'm saying?
That makes a lot of sense. That is probably one of the best feelings of here.
Love that about this place.
When things go, as much as I complain about the I call it the Nosar gossip machine, there's no escaping it. You can be as nice as you possibly can.
Just stay home.
There's no escaping it. So I complain about that. I dislike it. But I'm also trying to face it. Like right now, moments like this, somebody's going to listen to this. I want this off my chest. Fast forwarding through the bullshit, there's no escaping the Nosar gossip machine. So there comes a part of just accepting it and rolling with it. And I'm really interested in hearing how people do that. Because I don't have the option to stay at home. I absolutely have to make a living. Like, I need to survive.
I mean, just staying out of nightlife and being married and stuff like that. And I don't go to clubs anymore. I don't go to parties. I'm usually in bed by 9 and up at 4:30.
So your advice is lay low.
It depends on, with age for me, I've done it all. You know, when I came here, you know, I was divorced and I came here and I was married for a long time. And so my first couple of years here, I sowed some oats, you know, I had a good time. I was going out all the time. And that's kind of where a couple of those accidents happened.
Same boat in a motorbike without helmets
drinking,
and stuff.
Drinking, you know, late night. And so now I'm usually at home by, you know,
are you
in
happy?
Bed by nine.
Are you happier now working with this in front of you, or do you want to go back to the partying days?
No, I'm very happy with, you know, I think I'm happier right now than I've been in a long time. Because, you know, I've went through a lot of stuff. When I came here the first couple years, it was hard losing my mom. She was my best friend. You know, she was a great lady. And I think that was a part of why I was diving into drinking. And then my divorce wasn't that pretty either. But now I've kind of gotten past that. And I really feel like in my life right now where I'm at, I finally have gotten to my purpose. You know what I mean? I feel like for years, I didn't feel like I really didn't have what I needed here. You know what I mean? As far as like a good job, income. And now I'm able to go surfing when it gets good. The weather's beautiful. I don't own but two pair of jeans, you know, and I only wear one every now and then and flip-flops. And it's just nice. You know what I mean? I just really feel like I'm where I want to be, you know?
Congratulations on pulling it off, buddy.
It's taken years. You know, we all go through life wanting the next big thing, you know, but now I'm really comfortable in building this business and making it happen. And it's thriving. I'm amazed. Like I said, I just hired somebody. So it got to a point where it was hard for me to be productive with my work, but have walk-ins, because when somebody walks in the shop has to stop. And I have to meet with them, not I have to, but I want to get their work and give them time to express what they want and for me to tell them what we offer. So now that I have a helper, that's going to be big. That helps out a lot. So.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of the value in your business is the personalization that you're willing to give them. So without that time with them, you can't bond. So it's like a chicken and egg thing, sort of.
Yeah.
Because if you can't spend the time with them, it's hard to get the bigger, better deals and the people who feel it. Everyone benefits more without that time. So you got to hire some people. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah. I mean,
is that right?
With this one guy, I really think that maybe I should just go to start doing appointment only to bring your stuff in. Let's see, if people are busy and they put the artwork in their car and they come to my shop, I'm not going to say, oh, you need an appointment. Come in. You're here. Let's go ahead and get it done. But I think eventually I might have to go by appointment only if things keep getting busier.
What other thoughts you want to get out there while you have this platform?
Stop in and see what we have to offer first at the shop. I'd love to meet you, help you with anything you need. If you're building a house here and you need mirrors, we do custom mirrors. I do some small type furniture still, but I'm really getting to a point where I'm getting so busy. But I do have good connections. If somebody needs a good reference for somebody that does, you know, builds furniture.
The goal is frames and mirrors, and then also the storage.
In storage, yeah, exactly.
That's awesome, man.
I know. It's 2 years ago. I never would have known that this was going to happen. I was almost out of here. I mean, I was going back to the States to go to work, you know, and... COVID was good for me. You know, a lot of people had hard times. I worked all through COVID. Actually, my friend let me stay at his property, Chris, so I didn't have to travel. We had travel restrictions, so that was really cool.
You needed to get away a couple months back, and I was telling you about my getaway. And I'm getting asked about this frequently because I like to go to northern Nicaragua, the area that I like up there. It's about where Nosara, I would give it about 2005, 2006 comparatively. And that was a beautiful Nosara for me. Yeah. So up there, there's a couple of waves where like it's two strokes paddle. So up there, I can get barreled. Or I can go left and ride a reef. That's why I wanted to give you a taste of it. So,
oh my God, it was amazing.
How'd it go?
I have not really slowed down for that amount of time. And being there, I was there with 10 days, I think. I can't remember what it was, but man, I just finally took time to slow down there and caught amazing waves. I mean, I caught some of the best surf I've caught in years.
Where's your favorite waves?
The the boom, of course, but I did, we caught the island, you know, the left point break there off the island was amazing.
It's fun.
Amazing.
No, just for anybody who's listening, to make sure that people understand we're not giving away hidden secrets that are tucked away. None of this in any way is a secret. This is wildly out there. The boom, just go check out Chan Cletus's Instagram page and thank me later.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
It's special when it's uncrowded too. That's what I really love. Well, I wasn't jockeying with people.
It's waves. Never crowded because the wave separates the people. Like here, you like big days, Beast, because it separates the crowds. I love hard wind days, big current, because it separates the crowds. I now can use my knowledge of the place and experience to get into a position. It's a small days when there's no current, no wind. Those are the crowded days around here. That's when I don't really want to be out there. Yeah. So up there, though, the wave does it. Not everyone's ready to ride that wave. That's not a beginner level wave, by the way, too. So it's disclaimer. Not,
but it's so amazing. Anyway. Yeah, it's amazing. Always, I did find anytime I do plan a trip there, it's planned around high tide. It's crazy that all those breaks in that region all break on high tide.
That's not quite true, but we're not going to say some of those.
Nalawapa, whatever, that breaks on the...
Mid to high is your orientation. Actually, that's how most of the coast is.
Yeah.
If you think about it, think about all the waves to the north and south, most everything. Again, back to Nosara. That's why you do marry Nosara. Live here. It's the most consistent warm water wave that I'm aware of.
That's why I moved here. You know, that's why I came here. It's
just a good decision. Consistency. Yeah. But also need variety sometimes.
Yeah. Well, if you can surf here, I think you can surf anywhere in the world because it's so different. You know what I mean? And the training that you get, that when you have to go out on the big days and paddle here, you go to a point break and you're just on fire because, yeah. You know what I mean? You're used to paddling and duck diving.
I was gonna agree with you on that point. For the term paddling. The yes. Paddling prowess that one gets from here is impressive.
Yeah. That's why it's everybody impressive. Around here that surfs a lot, they're in great shape, you know? They're just, I wish I could go out there and just surf for 3 hours every day, you know? But, you know, it's a great exercise. You don't have to, you're enjoying yourself and you're staying fit, you know?
Well, I appreciate you coming on the podcast,
no,
man,
and sharing your story. Thanks for having me. And, yeah, I hope now that a lot of people didn't know about the frame shop know about it.
They will. Are the ones when they need to know about it, they will. It'll be available. That's the beauty of Google and typing stuff in. So somebody will just be sitting there at 2 a.m. and say, hey, maybe we should do some frames. Yeah. And then now they're going to find you. And now they get to hear everything about you. And hopefully they will make an appointment.
I hope they do.